Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance, is Big Al and D-Mac.
That was fun. Hey, did you get some Brothers? Did you see Brothers Barbecue was here?
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a Brothers right there on the corner of the wrap.
Oh, no, of course. Do I know?
When I have functions, I just stop by there and load up. And
Big Sexy, how you doing on that stuff?
Yeah. I went back for seconds. I'm surprised you didn't see me when you were doing
that. Like, you still got some hot links left there,
I
buddy.
Grabbed some hot links out the door. I'm glad there was some left. They are hot.
Yeah, I had a few of those.
They're good.
Some ribs, some brisket, some pulled pork, macaroni, cheese, baked beans.
You know, it's very rare that
Brothers
you, know,
when
you have barbecue for lunch that people will bring you like the full array of barbecue. They'll usually just bring you like a pulled pork, or they'll bring you a brisket. But never do they bring you brisket, ribs, pulled pork, and brisket and hot links together.
Mm.
Now, that's it. You got all the five meat products right in front of you.
Dip, dodge, dive, duck, and dodge. Pork, brisket, pork, links, pork, and sausage pork.
Delicious.
Barbecue and ribs. Beans and mac and cheese and...
Coleslaw.
Coleslaw.
That's what
I love. They have collard greens at Brothers?
No, they don't have collard greens.
Collard greens are kind of an acquired taste, I suppose.
You know, I didn't have French fries with barbecue until I got to Colorado. Everything about barbecue where I'm from says that potato salad is the right thing to have.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But then you got people who won't eat everybody's potato salad. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what that's all about. But okay.
It's a whole thing. It's a whole foodie project.
A bunch of mustard thing. In that stuff.
And what?
I want to know when the Big Al Big Sexy Food Show is coming. When is the Big Al and Big Sexy Food Show?
You cook, I eat.
Tell you what, man.
The two of you together, because Al's a tremendous cook, and Big Sexy's a tremendous eater. I'd like to just be an intern on that show.
The really big food show.
Yes. Yeah, that would be something. That'd be something.
Well, who doesn't like eating? Everybody
I know,
likes
it's
eating.
A problem, but, you know, who doesn't? You're right. You are correct, my friend.
How are you doing today, my friend?
Super, never better. Super, as always, Alfred.
Interesting weekend, and I see that Broncos finished it up with
scrimmage yesterday.
A little scrimmage where I guess Paxton Lynch is not going to cut it.
I don't know. What are you going to do?
And
I mean, what? So actually, hold on. What are you going to do?
Well, I mean, I told you what we should do.
I mean, VJ's got to... I mean, unless VJ was just lying, which I don't think he was. But, you know, the football coaches don't have an inherent right to tell us the truth about everything, especially personnel. But he did say that Chad Kelly would get an opportunity with the twos. And, I mean...
What that means is that Paxton Lynch hasn't done enough... So that Paxton Lynch can secure the number two position.
Yeah, but I don't know how honest VJ was about that statement. What I think they wanted to have happen, Alfred, is for Paxton just to, you know, play well, and then they could just say, we were competing and he's earned it, and that they don't want to. The statement that got VJ in a little bit of trouble was Paxton can just relax, right? And we were like, oh, no, he's got to compete. And so VJ made a point in the spring to say, no, he is competing. And then John Elway said, you know, there'll be a competition for the two and the three. And then VJ said, no, he'll, you know, Chad Kelly will get a chance with the twos. But I don't think they meant really any of it, because it really screws things up. Because once Chad Kelly goes with the twos, what do you think? You're going to go back to Paxton Lynch with the twos? Had they been just switching back and forth out of the whole camp, then fine. You know, you could have just... But they haven't. It's been Paxton with the twos, Kelly with the threes, the entire camp. So now what? If you put Kelly with the twos, Al, I mean, that's a wrap on Paxton Lynch completely, isn't it? Barring some sort of injury?
Well, I think that in an open competition, and certainly we have an open competition at most positions that are in the reserve role. In an open competition and on a competitive team, the best player should always play. Now, when he plays, it should be noticeable that he is better than the guy after him. It should be really noticeable. So if you're asking me, should Paxton Lynch be the number two guy right now, I'm going to tell you no, because he hasn't demonstrated that he is better than the guy that's behind him.
Man,
and we haven't
not,
even seen the guy
right
that's
that.
Behind him yet in a game in the NFL. So the ideas that are being put forward today are just general competition rules that really don't need a whole lot of explanation. So that's the way I look at it.
So what are you going to do?
Well, you do what you do. You play a game.
I think you keep it the way it is through the first preseason game.
But also,
and then you'll have to adjust after that.
Here's the big deal, and you can start hearing it now across the NFL as you hear different coaches talk about it. The players see everything. The players see everything, and draft position at some point doesn't cut it, because we just saw the Cleveland Browns make a trade that was ridiculous. They took Corey Coleman and traded him for a seventh-round draft pick. Now, if you don't know who Corey Coleman is, he was their first-round draft pick 2 seasons ago, and I think he went number 14 from Baylor, and got rid of him for a draft pick later down the line, and a seventh-rounder at that. What they're basically telling you is that this guy can't play. Now, we owe him the money, but he just can't play. So we got to get rid of him, and we'll take anything for him. And that was, to me, the craziest move over the over the weekend. Now, that's the craziest deal. And we just found out today that the Browns will get $3.5 million back from Corey Coleman on his deal. So that's what I'm talking about. And they getting a seventh-round draft pick for a guy who was picked in a top round in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
Dude, the reason I'm saying this is because
what are you suggesting?
At some point, you're going to have to cut bait with your first-round draft pick.
Okay.
And so I don't know when that pick – I don't know when that figure is for the Broncos, but when it doesn't work, it just doesn't work.
And take anything for him?
Just get anything
Whatever.
For him.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
And, you know, the quicker you do it, just the quicker you move on from it. Like, Trevor Siemian was cut. Trevor Siemian, who was the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos for the past 2 years, was just cut. You guys understand me? The best backup quarterback possibility for the Denver Broncos was cut. And how long did we hem and haw about that? Nothing. We really could have gone on and on and on about, like, why did you cut Trevor? He's your best. He's got your most NFL experience. He'd be a great backup. He's now a backup with the Minnesota Vikings for Kirk Cousins. I mean, we could have gone on and on and on and on and on about it. But the quicker that you get it done and you move on, the quicker everybody moves on. So, where do you think the Broncos really are? We know where we are, right? Obviously, where do you think they are?
As far as the quarterback position goes,
yeah, about Lynch,
I think the Broncos are. They have enough information now. They clearly have enough information. Now it's about how can we do a deal to get us a backup quarterback in here. And what they should do is acquire a backup quarterback before they trade or release Lynch, because they need to appear like there's, you know, we're still grooming our guy. But at some point, man, you just got to say, man, it's just not going to be enough. I mean, you have one good day of practice this year, and it was because you put in more boot stuff, more move stuff, and really your coordination of your offense can't really be that in the NFL, because the hash marks don't really move that much. So you can't do a whole bunch of boot and move to the field, because everything is basically centered in the middle of the field in the NFL. So all that boot stuff really doesn't it doesn't have the same effect like it does in college. College football and pro football, it's a different game. You don't have wider hash marks and more field, and therefore you could use more of a guy's athleticism to the field. But in the NFL, hey man, you got to do it between the tackles, and your quarterback basically has to stay in the pocket. That's where he's protected. So all the things that Lynch did well at Memphis, you can't utilize it in the NFL. And plus on top of that, his reads are slow. His reads are slow. I'm sitting on the sideline. I'm seeing routes develop. I'm just seeing them organically happen. And I'm like, there it is. You know what I'm saying? Then it takes him 1,001, 1,002 seconds more to find it. In the NFL, you don't have that. As soon as you see the coverage and you see a guy disappear, you know an area or zone is going to be open. He just doesn't have that yet. So the Broncos have to make a tough decision. And once again, watching this Corey Coleman deal from the Cleveland Browns, man, I mean, listen, the only difference is the Browns have a new GM. And he doesn't have to settle with the fact that he didn't pick Corey Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
Another GM did.
Right. I guess there's that,
with,
right?
Yeah, the problem with
it's
the Broncos.
It's easier to move on. Right.
The problem
right.
with the Broncos is that the group that picked him
right.
is still in control of draft picks
right.
And control of free agent moves and everything else the way the team is.
It's a tough decision just to eat.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, hey, man, if it doesn't work, though, the best thing that you can do to send a message to your team that we're doing what's best for us is go get somebody who can play, okay, mm-hmm. and move on.
That would be the simplest way to do it. If you brought in a veteran and just said, Paxton needs more time to develop and we wish him the best, but we really feel like we can compete now and we need a veteran presence as a backup. It's really as simple as that. And like everybody will kind of understand it. You may sort of get some grief about, it was a blown pick and a first rounder, but.
Oh, nobody cares about that.
And that was three years ago.
Yeah, nobody cares about that. What we care about is Bradley Roby. And we care about Bradley Chubb. We care about Courtland Sutton. Okay, we care about these first and second round draft picks around here that can play.
Mm-hmm.
We're not concerned about those that can't.
Well, I think the only reason
year we let our second. You realize we let our second round draft pick go last year for nothing. We just let Cody Latimer just walk out of here. For nothing.
Well, after 4 years, right.
I'm just saying, but I mean, for nothing?
That's just true. Michael Schofield, gone. He was a second round pick.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's not that big of a deal. I mean,
Zane Beadles was Orlando Franklin was a second round pick at one point.
When you let guys go for nothing, it's a clear admission that.
I mean, what happened with Ashley Lalee? He was a first round pick. What happened there? He's gone. I mean, it does happen.
It happened, but we just haven't. You know, the thing is with the Denver Broncos, you know, you can count on one hand.
Raheem Moore was a second-round pick.
The first-round draft picks they've had at quarterback. I mean, the organization's first-round draft picks at quarterback.
I got to think about that. Tebow.
Mm-hmm.
Lynch. Was Greasy first-round?
Tommy Maddox.
Were those the only three?
I think those are the only three that I can remember.
All drafted in history. All drafted in the 20s. That is true.
So we don't have a great history of drafting and developing quarterbacks. And for that fact, maybe the only team that can really do it real well is a team that's in Green Bay or San Francisco from past history.
Adam Schefter, our pal. Oh, my goodness. It's so good to have you back. Adam, how are you?
It is so nice to be with guys who are not friendly with Marquette King. What the hell is going on with that?
Maybe I got to talk to you about that offline, Adam, if you get my nod, wink, wink on that. But and I'm happy to do that at another time if that's all good. So, Adam, how are you?
What's going on, guys?
How was your summer? How's your family? How's your daughter? How's all that stuff?
Well, thank you for asking. I appreciate that. I've got a son who's going to be a freshman at the University of Michigan.
Oh, my goodness. Sorry. I forgot about that. He's following in your footsteps.
Well, I don't think so. He wants to go into the world of business.
He's going to Michigan. He's going in with the Big Blue, though. That's where I'm going.
Yeah, in that regard, yeah. He's actually enrolled in the summer term there, and he'll be starting full classes this fall.
But wow.
He's been taking some classes this summer, and my daughter's been begging me to come to ESPN every single day, and I'm like, hey, you know, I got work to do, so we'll get it done in due course, and everything's good.
Good.
I appreciate you asking. Thank you. How's everything back there?
We're fine. You know, we have a quarterback situation, but a backup quarterback situation
yep.
that we're trying to figure out here. So let me just ask you, what would the value of Paxton Lynch be if there was any value? We know it's low. And then what free agent veteran quarterback out there could possibly make sense?
Great questions. In regards to Paxton Lynch and the value that he would have on the street, first of all, right, I would say that probably not much. I wonder whether there would be a team that was willing to give up some kind of conditional late-round pick at this point in time. I think that that's possible that that could happen. They might be able to recoup something. It would not be much. Look at the Browns. They used a first-round draft in 2016 on Corey Coleman and wound up getting a seventh-round pick
in 2020
back for him. Okay, so see, you're not talking about very much of anything at this point in time. And I just think it's a situation where not only that, but you get the money on Paxton Lynch's contract being guaranteed. So a team that's trading for a guy that they don't even know can play, they got to pick up his money too.
It's tough.
And so that dilutes his value, if anything else. So, again, I just think it's very limited in terms of the type of value that he would have on the open market. You know, when we're talking about backup quarterbacks that are still free, T.J. Yates is still out there, if you're interested in that at this particular time. I think that maybe the best bet, you got Colin Kaepernick, who's still out there. That's the most intriguing name of all to me at this time, and I don't think that they would make that move. I don't know that, but I don't think that.
Mm-hmm.
I think your best bet if you want to back a quarterback, honestly, is to wait for these teams to trim their rosters and see which team doesn't decide to carry a third quarterback. Like, I think the Jets, as an example, would carry three, right? But they've got Sam Darnold and Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater. Now, they'll carry three, so it's a moot point, but you're looking for a situation like that. Like in L.A., right, the Chargers have Phillip Rivers, who's making the roster, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Geno Smith, Cardale Jones, neck and neck. Now, maybe one of those guys comes loose and you think that they're an upgrade over the quarterbacks you have. And so that'd be my guess. Plus, I think you also have to think, who have these guys coached before?
Mm.
Who could come in and learn that? Like Connor.
Well, you know, Connor, Mike Sullivan, the quarterback coach with the Giants.
Well, the offensive coordinator was also with Teddy Bridgewater last year in Minnesota.
Okay.
Musgrave has a, you know, they ran a similar offense in Minnesota what they do in Denver here. So I don't think that a guy like Teddy Bridgewater would be off by that much.
How about Connor Cook?
Mm.
As an idea here in Oakland, where the Raiders go with, I'm making this up, they go with Derek Carr and EJ Manuel, and then they let go of Connor Cook, who John Gruden didn't draft, who was there when Bill Musgrave was there. And again, I'm just throwing this out there.
Right.
It probably makes no sense, but that's the kind of thing that you're talking about. Like, is Connor Cook better than T.J. Yates or a quarterback that's on the street right now? That's something that they'd have to decide. But there'll be a quarterback or two who come free who you wouldn't expect. That is Matt Moore still available?
Yeah. Well, that's the guy I was thinking.
I mean, of course, he is.
We
speculated Matt Moore last week would be an option here, and he's certainly somebody that we put up here. But, Adam, I got to get to this before I let you get out of here.
Yeah.
You were in the Hall of Fame ceremonies last weekend. What was the vibe?
In terms of what, Alfred?
Without T.O. being there.
You know what? Honestly, it's his decision. It doesn't change he's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
You had Randy Moss call him after the ceremony, and Ray Lewis, reach out to him. They've done that to express their love, and nobody's holding any resentment. Honestly, I feel bad for him missing out on a weekend that'll never be duplicated. He's saying that he's protesting
the process.
Excuse me, the process. Yep. I don't understand that. To me, you only just spite yourself by not showing up for a weekend where you'll be celebrated. You have the biggest platform you could to speak out against the process and the voters. And excuse me, he didn't take that. You know, he's always done things his own way. And I would bet you to say that if you asked the 300-plus members of the Pro Football Hall of Fame if they've had many more memorable weekends than the one in which they were inducted, the answer to many of those people would be no. Ask Shannon Sharpe or Terrell Davis or John Elway what it was like when they were inducted. I'll bet it, they would say it was one of the highlights of their career. And so he bypassed that to be in Tennessee Chattanooga, which is great, and I'm sure he enjoyed it, and he paid homage to the people that deserved it. But you know, he missed out. He doesn't even know what he missed out on. I have an idea, actually, having been there 15 times for those ceremonies. You know, he doesn't know what the Ray Nitschke lunch on Friday is, where you go with all the Hall of Famers and they roast you and they have a private conversation and you're around all these football legends. And he doesn't know what it's like to be at the gold jacket ceremony where you walk out on a stage and 3,000 people are cheering you and your family puts the jacket on you and you take the... He doesn't know what it's like to be backstage with all your current Hall of Fame classes you're being inducted. And that doesn't make it wrong or right. It's just that, you know, I'll use an example of my son. Like, I could tell him all day, you have no idea how fortunate you are to be going to college in the fall and you're going to Michigan. And I know, I have an idea of what he's in for. He doesn't. You know, and if he said tomorrow, yeah, I decided I'm not going to college, which isn't happening, but I decided I'm not going to go, he wouldn't know what he's missing. I would.
Right. And that's kind of what Tony Dungy said, too, on the broadcast. And, Al, you had strong feelings about that, though.
No, I
know I what
believe,
you're saying, Al.
No,
I agree
no,
with
no,
you.
No, I believe that, you know, I'm just trying to get the vibe in the room about how the rest of the contingency was feeling
well,
about it.
Like
I mean, I have my ideas.
They
and
moved on without
my
him.
Ideas are, you know, T.O., has been a he's been an outcast for his entire career, and I thought it was a real slap in the face for him to go in at this point and putting in Randy Moss in the same class as a first ballot guy when both of them have had issues with teammates and members of the media. But for some reason, T.O. wasn't good enough to go in the first ballot. He should have been in the first ballot. Period.
Hey, let me tell you something. The Hall of Fame voters have done greater disservices to that. We could look no further
no doubt.
Than Denver.
No
okay,
doubt.
Where they're making Pat Bowlen, who will be in the Hall of Fame when they wait. We could look at all the people that they
No doubt.
I mean, there are people that Ken Stabler. What made him a Hall of Famer 25 years later? Oh, but he's dead now. He's dead. Like, I mean, what changed? Nothing changed.
Mm.
Put him in while he can enjoy it.
Exactly, bro. Exactly. You know, you know what, Adam? I think that we are squarely on the same page about all of this, and it just feels like there are different criteria out there for different members, especially if you don't live on one of the coasts. Us being stuck here in Denver by some Hall of Fame writers means that we don't have enough momentum to get our guys in. Too many great players, too many Super Bowls have been had around here for us being underrepresented in the Hall of Fame. So I have an issue with the Hall of Fame voters as well. So
I've always felt it was a non-representative group in the sense that I've been in that room because I've been a voter for 4 or 5 years. Okay, and I watched how it worked. And when I was a voter, and I think they've tinkered with it some, but not enough, they had all these writers coming forward and making cases on behalf of a candidate or to keep him out of the Hall. And so much of that testimony was gleaned from former coaches and players. And I'm thinking to myself, well, why don't we just have a lot more former players and coaches who know these guys, who coached against these guys, who played against these guys, to know who is and isn't a true Hall of Famer?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're leaning on their words anyway. That's crazy.
Adam, so good to have you back in the mix.
You know, I love you, bro.
Love you guys. I'm looking forward to being with you guys every Monday, 5:15 Eastern, 3:15
yes.
Mountain.
Yes,
and
yes.
We'll have a lot of fun this
yes.
year, as
yes.
always.
As always.
And it's an honor to be back home in Denver.
Right on. Thank you, Adam. We'll talk to you. Talk to you next week. Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
It's my good friend, Adam Schefter.
Yep.
We spent a lot of meals together in Greeley. And
yeah, that's when they could eat with the players.
After, right.
The reporters could just sit there and eat with the players.
I see Sam. I see Sam in practice. I
Sam
saw Ron
Adams.
DiPolo show up.
Did you see? Wait, was Ron there?
He showed up the first week for a couple days.
Oh, I missed Ron.
So many
Ron.
Familiar faces, but it's good to see that Adam is doing well at ESPN.
Goodness. He's the best.
It's good to have him back with us every Monday.
All right, Big Three. We'll get there next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Body Armor Sports Drink, is Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
All right, story number one, let's just go with the scrimmage from yesterday, Alfred, where Chad Kelly lit it up and Paxton Lynch did not. Case Keenum and the one's offense was very conservative, actually, by the way. It wasn't quite as wide open as I think we're used to seeing, so wasn't spectacular, but it wasn't bad. More of the talk here is about what to do at that backup spot. So, Alfred, I'll simply ask you, have we seen enough, or do we need a little bit more?
I think we've seen. I think we've seen a lot. We don't need to see any more.
Are you convinced Chad Kelly's a better option as a backup than Paxton Lynch?
Hold on. What I'm telling you is that we've seen enough to know that our backup quarterback is never going to be a starting quarterback.
Okay.
So, whatever reasoning behind the fact that we have a backup quarterback, to say that one day he'll be our starter is not what I'm seeing in Paxton Lynch.
So move on.
I think it would be best for this organization.
Bongos.
Three!
I would say that the Cleveland Browns, are heading in the right direction. The one thing that I've consistently heard about John Dorsey and this process that he's doing, or shall I say transitioning to in Cleveland, is cleaning a slate of people that can't play.
Mm.
Now, if you cut a guy who was a top pick just 2 years ago and trade him for a seventh rounder in the 2020 football season, then that's the right way to think about the show. That's the way to think about the game. That's the way to think about your Super Bowl chances. The message has to be clear and concise. We don't have time for those who can't help us right now. And if you're on the bubble about whether or not a guy can help you, move on. Because there are just too many good football players in different areas. Maybe it's not receiver that you pick up that other position in. Maybe it's offensive line.
Who else do you feel that way about with the Broncos? Like Jeff Hireman or...
Yeah, I would say if Jeff Hireman... You feel like Jeff Hireman can't help you. If you believe Paxton Lynch can't help you.
Whatever.
And you know, for those that aren't here, if they can't help you, move on. I get it. It's just the way that it goes. And it's just... the way of the business, and we get used to it as football players and football fans. We just got to get used to it as a front office.
Bongos.
Three!
Alfred, what'd you think of the Hall of Fame over the weekend, especially T.O.? Did you watch T.O.'s?
I did. I only watched T.O.'s. I saw bits and pieces of the other.
Where did you watch T.O.'s thing, by the way? Where was it broadcast?
I just watched it online. I watched all of it replayed online.
Oh, okay.
And,
so not enough to make you search it out live. Enough to make you go back and watch it.
No, I had to go back and watch it. But I didn't watch any of them live, to be honest with you. But it's, I thought that, you know, Ray Lewis, it was Ray Lewis. I just want to scream, where's the white suit, you know, the whole time. There were hecklers.
Hey, man, did you read Robert Klemko's speech or story about Ray Lewis?
No, are you talking about when he said he prayed for him?
No. You're right. Yes. Yeah. Lewis said that to Klemko. Klemko's a writer for Sports Illustrated right. Who lives here in Denver. We have a good relationship with Robert. I urge everybody to go check that out.
Maybe we should get him on.
I'm sure that'd be fine by me. It was a fascinating article.
Right.
But that being said, you know, Ray Lewis was, you know, doing a TED talk, and I get it. You know,
I mean, he sweat right through his jacket. Yeah. So I mean, clearly that shows you how warm it was in Canton, to say the least. I thought Mouse was short and sweet to the point, and Dawkins was explaining his troubles. And for all of those, I say, you know, the Hall of Fame presentation and where they host it and how it's presented should be handled differently.
I couldn't agree with you more.
With all of that being said,
I mean, how about a room that has air conditioning so Ray Lewis doesn't have to sweat through his entire, you know, jacket? How about making things comfortable for everybody? How about doing something where the speeches are, you know, 10 minutes long and more digestible for everybody? How about doing it in a place where more fans can actually get to? Blah, 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 right? All those sort of things.
And if it's not your guy that's up there and he's taking 33 minutes, you don't care about whether or not he gave a passionate speech or not. He's not your
right.
guy.
And it's so presumptive of Ray Lewis to go so long with his speech when there's obviously...
And gave him a wireless mic.
You're not the only guy up there. I think you and I are on the same page there, Bongos.
Yeah. It's just something that I just noticed.
All right, when we come back...
Did you just think that, all right, man, that's over the top, Ray Lewis?
I thought it was ridiculous. Yeah. It certainly deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm not questioning that, but the ego on Ray Lewis. Listen, when we had Trevor Price on and we asked Trevor Price about the whole Ray Lewis thing and he broke it down for us as just it was for rookies and people that didn't think that deeply. That's what Trevor said. And I get it. I get it. And what were we watching?
I don't know what that was.
What were we watching? What were we watching there? He gets a wireless mic? Why?
Was that to take up the time that T.O. was supposed to have?
I saw T.O. stuff too, and
I thought T.O.'s was better than Ray Lewis.
Let's take a break. We can talk about it coming up next.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Now, this could be one of two. This could be one of two artists singing this right here. You know what this is, D-Mac?
Sounds 80s-like. Like it'd be Cameo or something like that.
I don't think you're going to get it. Either of you.
It sounds bad. It like.
Okay, all right.
Wait, hold on. I might get it. Definitely 80s. This is an 80s?
I heard this.
Sounds like it's off the Prince tree somewhere.
I know. I can tell you about the remix. As the Frank Ocean.
This is an 80s?
Frank Ocean sings a song off of this beat that is just... Oh, man, it's one of my favorites. You don't know this one, huh?
I'm listening. Who is it?
MDMT.
Yeah, that's the 80s. What year do you say this in? Yeah, this is like circa like 1983 or something. No?
MGMT was founded in 2002.
2002 with this? That sounds terrible. That's a horror. Where are you getting this right off YouTube? It sounds terrible. Okay.
Anyways, is that you got
did you request this, Big Al?
No, I didn't.
If I
would have came up with the Frank Ocean version of it.
Where'd you even think of that, Big Sexy?
Well, MGMT was the next in the system, and I decided to change the song it was.
Uh-huh.
So instead of hearing this...
Yeah,
I played Electric
Trio
instead of Kids.
Okay. Maybe we're in time for a new whitewash on our musical. It's time to turn the tunes over.
I mean,
it happens every few months.
Electric Feel from Frank Ocean though is. I kept
MGMT. I just switched the song.
Okay.
Yeah, why don't you play that Electric Feel next time we come back from Frank Ocean? I like what I like.
All right, the Hall of Fame. Listen, we have gone over it so many times about how horrible the presentation of the Hall of Fame ceremony is. You've been there. You've been tortured by it live.
Yeah, three times.
And while you love your guys that went in, so three times, I'm going to guess Elway, TD, and Shannon. How am I doing?
Went in for Anthony Munoz.
Munoz. You didn't go for Elway, huh?
No, I did not.
Okay. So Munoz, TD, and Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure when your guy's up there talking, it's cool. But I don't know how it got so out of hand with the length of the speeches. I mean, I just have never seen anything like it.
They cut it down.
How is that possible? Ray Lewis went off for like 33 minutes. And then I saw that he was 3 minutes short of the record. And the record's held by Brett Favre, of all people. I mean, in all honesty, aside from a college lecture or something, I really don't know what you can talk about for 33 minutes. It's to me, it's unwatchable. As great as these guys are and as such an amazing... And then I heard Brian Dawkins forgot about the Broncos.
Oh, did he not mention the Broncos?
I mean, there, Steve Atwater went out there. Lauren Landau went out there. Patrick Smythe was out there. They had a contingent of guys out there.
Now, I know the Hall of Fame game reached an all-time low rating.
Is that right? Well, the game was terrible.
It's down 18% from viewership from last year.
Well, rightfully so. It's a terrible game, and none of the starters or stars playing it.
And it's on a Thursday.
Yeah, it's it and by the way,
it should have been playing on a Thursday. Should have felt like the right time to play.
When you watch the game, and I did watch the game because I want to see Lamar Jackson be awesome. They barely talked about the game itself. It was like Michelle Tafoya just
wanted to interview the
which
the,
was
the
cool.
Inductees.
Yeah, but like the game was kind of an afterthought. It was just an excuse to talk about other stuff, which is fine because we all know preseason's meaningless anyways. The Broncos preseason won't be about what? Offensive line depth, secondary communication, and backup quarterbacks?
Backup quarterback, and who's the third corner?
Stuff
like
that.
I think offensive line is going to be fine.
Well, I said offensive line depth.
I think the depth is going to be good, too.
By the way, Ron Leary did miss the scrimmage yesterday. And Valdir's coming off an injury as well. By the way, Connor McGovern? Hasn't missed a rep with the ones, Al, at all.
Oh, I get it.
So, whatever you think about Connor McGovern,
I get it.
That's what they think about him.
I get it.
Matt Paradis was kind of dealing with some sickness issues. It's a great moment at the end of the scrimmage because, first of all, the practice is relatively short. The practice is, you know, as exciting as you're going to get. And the entire team, most of the team, the vast majority of the team spends time signing autographs for the player for the fans. Beautiful day. Really, the Broncos do it, you know, as good as anybody can imagine. But you learn a lot about how the coaches are thinking about things, and the first depth chart comes out tomorrow. So you walk away after that scrimmage, and Chad Kelly lit it up, Al.
Well, would you be surprised? Would you be surprised?
He lit it up.
Hold on. Would you be surprised?
I mean, who's
right
Jordan
now?
Leslie? I mean, he caught a touchdown pass from Chad Kelly.
Hold on. Would you be surprised if Chad Kelly is still 13?
No. No, because when they make this switch, if they make this switch, it's a death blow to Paxton Lynch. There's no coming back from it. And I don't think you can do that lightly. Had they, excuse me, had they been rotating the two of them, had it been a true competition, then I would be more patient with the whole process. But not now. Because if they make the change now, Al, it's a change forever. And I think Chad Kelly's up for the moment. The problem is Chad Kelly really good enough to be the backup? I mean, it's clear that he deserves a chance to get reps over Paxton Lynch. That's not debatable. But, you know, what about Matt Moore? I mean, you know, I guess, you know, Colin Kaepernick's not an option, right? Like, that's just ridiculous. We can't even talk about it.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, because he deposed the Broncos in his lawsuit because of the anthem stuff, because of, I mean, I don't know. I guess. We sat here from a football perspective months ago and argued that Colin Kaepernick made sense as a backup. I thought we had some pretty good arguments and pretty strong, convincing things, and then we find out he's deposing John Elway in the Broncos, and it's like, well, okay.
Guess you're not going to have him as a teammate if he's deposing your general manager.
Right. I mean, as much it's as we think it's a good sense, idea, but yeah. That's common sense. That's common
you
sense.
You would say that is common sense, that he's probably not going to be a Bronco, but that...
You know, your why not thing still holds true if you're only thinking about football.
If you're only thinking about football, then Matt Moore should be here now.
But it's not only about football. There's relationships and ego and money.
Yeah, but it's also there's a public perception, and then there's a team perspective that is apparent to everybody who's at practice on a daily basis.
Right,
and that perspective is unique because everybody knows who can play. Everybody. There's no debate about the players.
What do you think? We're the only ones talking about it? You don't think the players talk about it? You don't think their friends talk about it? You don't think the employees in the building talk about it? Of course they do. Everybody talks about it. It's a tough decision, though. It is. I actually have a little sympathy for Elway and crew because there's no going back from it. And you know what? If you do it, Al, you probably should just trade them, right? Because just putting them back on the third team, you could get the CSU kid, Nick Stevens. Mm-hmm. You could bring Nick Stevens in tomorrow to be your third string guy.
I don't know if you need a third string guy. You need a backup quarterback. You need a developmental quarterback.
You bring somebody in for your practice squad if you have to fill that gap.
And you need a guy who you can develop.
Which is Chad Kelly for sure. Yeah. So what do you do now, Broncos? That's the biggest takeaway after this weekend.
And I heard you talking about the opportunity that exists for Chad Kelly out there. And D-Mac, I think that, you know, when we say something is happening the right way for the Broncos, I think overall we applaud it because we see it and it comes to fruition. When I tell you that Courtland Sutton is off the chain and then the first thing you hear is that Courtland Sutton is our third wide receiver without a doubt. And you hear Chris Harris say that the guy should have been picked in the top 10 of the NFL draft. Right. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to go out on a limb right now.
Right.
I think right now you'd be hard-pressed to find 9 other guys better than Courtland Sutton. He should probably have been a top 10 pick.
Probably right.
And if they would have reversed the roles where Bradley Chubb is the second-round guy and Courtland Sutton is our first-round guy, I'd say they would have had it right.
Oof.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Wow. And on that note, we'll take a break. Football at 4 is next.